Well, God is great. He's not just good, but he's great. He's not just good, but he's great. This will be faith over here. It's on the right side of God. And this will be works over here. The law. Remember, the law can accomplish nothing. It can't perfect a man. So if the goal of God was to perfect us, then it won't work except you have faith. So you can't be perfected by anything you do. Nothing that you do is perfect. So why then did the Reformation take place? The reason it took place was because Luther discovered justitia Dei, the justice of God, could be, it had an ambiguous meaning. It could be lenient or harsh. You could throw the whole book of the law at somebody, or it could be lenient. For example, a judge actually could postpone the judgment and say, I'll save this until the last. In other words, I'm going to let you think about what you've done. Maybe something will happen, and you'll ameliorate. You'll change. You will. You'll believe in Jesus. So that something is exactly what God had in mind when he condemned everybody under the law. Because under the law, nothing is made perfect. Under the law, nothing is made perfect. Human law, divine law, any law, natural law, doesn't matter. Social law, doesn't matter. All laws perfect nothing. You can tell today by looking at the world that people under law are lawless.
Amen.
It doesn't matter where you look, people that say, I'm going to do this, fail. This time it's going to work. No, you're not going to make it. Because man is not perfect. So, I want to talk about an unseen world. Our religion is not built as though the church were God's work on earth. In other words, the church that Jesus was building was for an unseen world. So if you can see it, if you can see what's perfect, it's not in this world. That's over there. So everything in this world fails, and so therefore God is right to judge everybody that's under a law. Anybody that tries to be perfect, I'm the perfect soccer mom, won't work. I'll be the perfect wife, it won't work. I'll be the perfect husband, good dream. But it doesn't work. Now, how many have noticed that, at least among other people other than yourself? You've noticed that people fail all the time. I don't care how noble President Trump is, even. He'll fail. You cannot be successful in this world without God. Now, I know he's a believer, or he says he's a believer. And, you know, I don't doubt it and don't even care. All I'm saying is the only way you can do it is by faith. So the Catholics were wrong. They said that the church itself was a work of God, that God was building that church. Well, they got that out of Scripture. However, they interpret it to mean the church is visible. Anything visible is going to be wicked. Except one thing. The only thing God wants you to see in this world, fill in the blank. The only thing that God wants you to see in this world, yeah, you can say Jesus. But how will you know about Jesus?
The Word
of God. So, the only thing you can see is the Word of God. That's good. Good guesses. But, since it's the Word of God is the only thing you have. And you can see it. It's got black letters on it. And it's got white pages on it.
Praise the Lord.
Which one is bigger? The black letters or the white pages? So they're not only surrounding each sentence on there, they have a border around it, and then they're actually in the letters themselves, and you know. So the white page dominates the Bible. The black letter, by the black letter law, by the black letter, it kills the flesh, because God hates the flesh. So since he wants you to be perfect, since that's his goal, no one can come to heaven unless you're perfect. So he's looking for a perfect bride, us, and without spot, without wrinkle, us. And so, by the way, I don't think the word working today, because it has to be by faith, I don't think you can actually see it. So the Catholic Church was wrong. Everything in the Catholic Church is external. Everything, 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 everything. In fact, any religion, it's all outward. Got altars and offerings and, you know, things you do and so on and so forth. It's all external. Martin Luther destroyed all that. He said, that's not true. The only thing you can see in this word is Jesus. This word is all about Jesus. Old Testament, New Testament. Everything in here is unseen. You have to believe by faith. Faith and the word always go together. Why? The word is built on a promise. The promises. The Baptists sing this song, standing on the promises. Also, so you have to have promises to have faith in something you haven't seen. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. So you can't see it today. Everything on this side, the right side of me, everything on the right side is unseen, except this word. So this word is the only thing you can look at and read it, hopefully in your own language. That's why Luther translated the Bible into German. Others had tried it. But he was not pleased with other people. He has a doctorate of scriptures, so he had a high office inside the Catholic Church. He was a monk and, you know, assiduous, worked hard, and tried to be an impeccable monk, but he had what the Germans call Anfechtungen. It means a deep guilt. A deep sense of guilt before a holy God. He just felt like, I'm not perfect. Outwardly, I've done everything right and more than anybody else. But inwardly, I have this anxiety, this angst, this anxious thing that before God, I'm just a worm, nothing. So I've done everything right, but still I have this Anfechtungen that's destroying me. But one day, he traded in his Jerome Bible, 4th century. He traded that in because it said, Penitentiam agite, do penance, law. So when you do penance, all you make is hypocrites and liars. Because everybody says, well, I did more than you. Or, I think I was better than I was last week. And so everybody brags on how awesome they are. And yet most people can't even handle that, so they just skip it. They don't want to go to church, but the church forced you. It's the law. You had to go to church or your head's chopped off. That's a pretty good motivation. So even Queen Elizabeth did it. Everybody did it. That was just the way, that's what kings do. Chop your head off if you don't do what the Queen of Hearts says you have to do. So Luther changed all that and destroyed the Roman Catholic, it has to be Roman Catholic, system. Because he said, nobody can do that. Nobody's ever been righteous. Nobody has ever been righteous. Are you righteous all the time? Well, there you have proof. That's proof. Willis, are you perfect?
In Jesus.
In Jesus, likely faith. But you don't see faith. This is over here. You don't see faith. All you see is an unseen world that's promises in the book. This is all a book of promises. Even the law is a promise. Why? I'll tell you why the law is a promise. Because everything in this law was not written for you. Everything in here says be perfect and don't have other gods and all that stuff. That was written for Jesus. It was never written for you. Never, never, never did God imagine someone would actually try to do this and hold it up. I did this for you. So everything that man has ever done is unacceptable to God. Because God wants perfection. Be perfect as I am perfect. That's kind of a big standard. I failed that right away. In fact, I didn't even start the race. I did not. I never, ever, ever, ever felt I was good. I knew I wasn't. I knew this law was too tough for me. And so, the hell with it, I said. I'm not even going to start. So I never went to church, ever. And my third father forced us. You have to use force on someone like me, a rebel. And so when I was 11 years old, he said, we're going to go to church. Never been, ever. I lived a totally lawless, wicked, selfish, nasty life. And my parents didn't even know I lived a double life. Or a triple life. They had no idea. Because I was sneaky about it. I was treacherous. So this word... And it was a Lutheran church, so you know, maybe I'll get good news there. But I never paid attention. Even while I'm in church, the words just had no meaning at all. So I don't remember one sentence that was ever spoken all the way through high school. And by the time I was done with high school, having cheated and lied and stolen my whole life, then I decided... I don't think I'm go for the Christian hypocritical thing. There's people trying to keep a law that don't. Have you ever noticed that about Christians? They say they're going to keep the law, but they are what they aren't. They're pretending. If the standard is high, like be holy as I'm holy or be perfect as I'm perfect, which it was, everyone's guilty. Everyone's guilty. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short. I mean, all sounds like all. And since I decided, you know what? I'm only going to church because my third father weighs 250 pounds and I don't. And so I'll go and I'll do what you have to do. But as soon as I get a chance, I ain't doing it. Because I like sinning. I love it. As a matter of fact, because it's always for me. It's a zero-sum game. I win, you lose. That's all. So if I didn't have something, I just stole it. I had no compunction, no conscience that I knew of that convicted me of that. I was just happy because I always did what I wanted to do. And my parents didn't do it because I never swore at home, but I swore in public, but not at all. Don't do that. That's bad. Nevertheless, I realized if there is a God, I'm messed up because I've started out way wrong, and if there is a God, I'm completely destroyed. So I don't want there to be a God, so I'm not even going to visit that thing. But anyway, by the time I graduated and went to college, that's where I met Peggy. Almost the first day, probably was the first day, but I met her real soon on, and I was sitting on a chair on top of a table in the student lounge or whatever. And this is your first day of orientation or whatever. And she walked in and realized, I hate Irish-looking people. And that guy on that table looks like he's Irish. And I'm embarrassed by such people, and I don't want to have anything to do with them.
Irish-looking,
yeah, right. And so that was me. And I had no problem being braggadocious and arrogant. I had no problem because I didn't have any morals. I had neither religion nor morals in me. Maybe your son doesn't want to listen to all this. It's a bad life. But I had ball. Because I always did what I wanted to do. When you always do what you want to do, you should be happy, but I really wasn't. But not because I sinned. I was just doing what I wanted, but it didn't add up to happiness. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord, the Bible says. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. Well, I didn't. I didn't even want to know him. I didn't want to know anything about him. Because everybody that's religious seemed to me to be a hypocrite. They're trying to keep a law that they ain't keeping, and they don't ever say they're sorry. So why are they Catholic or Lutheran or Presbyterian or Methodist or whatever they are? Why don't they just admit they failed? Well, I wasn't planning on being a Christian, so I was just going to be an atheist or whatever. I wasn't an atheist because I didn't even think God was alive. I didn't even think he existed. I hadn't figured out how I got here. But somehow family meant nothing to me. Nothing meant anything to me. It's just my own being rich and famous and great and awesome and so on and so forth. Have you ever thought of that? Yeah. So it's a stupid thing you think of. Especially when you're like in eighth grade or ninth grade, you write on your notebook, Jim the Great, or something like this, you know, Alice the Beautiful, or whatever. And you don't see it in high school, but it's true in the, you know, in your transition years, you're growing up, you think of yourself as awesome someday because you don't have any barriers to stop you. I'm explaining the gospel to you, good news. Today I'm a Christian. Today I love Jesus with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, and I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid to live for Jesus, and he's my only life, period. So I'm over here, but I started out, I didn't even start out there. I just started out pagan, totally a pagan. And whatever is, whatever is. So I grew up in a mafia family, and they're bad. And they don't just talk, they act. So when the mafia says, hey, let me do you a favor, don't take it. let me help you out. Don't take it. I remember my first job, I worked at McDonald's. That was brand new. This was the second store they opened in Chicago. First one was in California. The second one, under 100,000 burgers had been sold, so they had that on the sign, 100,000 burgers, which was a lot for them. So I worked in there, and but I realized the only way I was going to make it in the world was to get knowledge. You had to get a skill or knowledge or something. So that's okay, I can do that. But this guy came to me in the church. He was a union boss in Chicago. And he said, you want to go to college? No, we don't have any money. Well, I could help you. So I learned right there, it's not what you know, it's who you know. It's who you know. So that's the way the mafia. It's who you know, who's the boss. So this guy said, I'm in charge of everything, so I'm going to make you make three times, over three times what everyone else is making. It's 99 cents an hour. This was in 56, 7, 8. And wow, so I'm making over $3 an hour, and everybody else is just, I think, $3.10 an hour. That's where they started me out. But everyone else was 99 cents. So I could actually go to college if I kept that up. And so after every summer, I would come home and work on that and so on and so forth. And so I could put myself all the way through, get scholarships because I was cheating on everything. I never did homework. Never had I read a book in my life. Now, I knew how to read, but that was too much work. So I could just cheat. It was easy to cheat. I was very gifted, very good at that. And so I paid people and wrote things on my sleeve and whatever. But at any rate, and I did some other things that were bad, but I won't tell you about them. But I was popular for that reason, because I did things that no one else dared to do, because I had no fear, no fear of man, no fear of anybody. I just could do what I want. Now, why I did all that was because my only question is, will I be a blue-collar mafia or a white-collar mafia? And I discovered that the white-collar mafia did better than the blue-collar. So, of course, I want to be rich. I want to have all the money I can handle. I'll be a white-collar mafia. Anyway, after 2 years, my father said, our money has run out, and you're on your own. Wow, I'd only been 2 years. I finished my art degree in 2 years. Now I decided in the next 2 years, I was going to do philosophy. I had no idea what it was, but kind of like imagining stuff, you know, kind of speculation about time. What is time? And instead of looking at your watch, you ask, what is time itself? So I learned all that silly stuff, and I loved it because it was a total distraction from what I was doing. And so I got another degree in philosophy. Then I was going to work on a third degree. I finished all that you needed to do. I had 2 degrees now. Then I worked on psychology, but I realized that was a bunch of baloney because it said it was a science, because they had graphs and charts and so on. So it said it's a science. But I didn't believe science was worth anything. And so it was just men washing out test tubes and trying stuff out. But I was going to work on that because that was another thing the world regarded. Today, all our problems are psychological. Have you ever noticed that? Everybody, now, you know, you can be, I was insane. I didn't know what I was doing. No, you were guilty. You knew exactly what you were doing. You just weren't beaten enough. You weren't, you know, wasn't shaped up. Now, I know there's some genuine people that are problems, but nevertheless, most people today always claim that. if they're in danger, I didn't know what I was doing. And everybody, even in school, it's what do you feel? What do you think? What do you want? That's how they teach today. They don't care if you know knowledge and have dates and, you know, all kinds of things. They just want you to know, how do you feel? Does everyone in the room? What if they go this way? Which way will you go? And so on and so forth. It's all nonsense. That's why people are dumbed down in America today. That's why we're way behind. And that's deliberate. It was deliberate. The government sponsors it. They want it that way. So teachers aren't allowed to teach today. You just have to be, you know, psychological, affective. Affective is not cognitive. So that was how the world grew up. Now, because I wasn't a Christian, but I did go to church because you had to. But then when I went to college, I think, yeah, don't have to go anymore. Nobody to watch over me. Nobody to see what I'm doing. And but by that time, I had figured out since you don't have any money, and your dad takes one third of it because you're working since I was 9 years old, you have to contribute one third to him, and that's how I got some payment from him for school. Then it ran out. So he said, and he said that in the beginning. You only have about 2 years. Then after that, you'll be on your own. So you better do well. Well, I didn't do well. I mean, I did well because I cheated. So in fact, I did very well. Cheating pays. Crime pays. That's what I learned as a kid. But now, I decided I'm going to just make my mind blank. Tabula rasa. I'm just going to erase my mind. And so I erased my mind and said, from now on, I'm going to read for the first time, and I'm going to actually study. Because I had kind of a photographic memory. And whenever I would read, I'd remember it all. It was simple for me. And so I began to get 2 and 3 degrees wherever I went to school. And so I just kept going and kept going. I was going to get 7 degrees, earned degrees, because I wanted, knowledge is power. Have you ever heard that? Knowledge is power. So the more you know, the more power you can command, especially if you know big words. You get paid for knowing Latin words if you're a doctor, or, you know, Greek and so on and so forth, and Latin and Hebrew and so on and so forth. So I liked learning. It was easy for me. Now that I was reading for the first time, I was able to comprehend everything. And people were amazed. How can you do so well? A++. Everything. Everything I touch, A++. So people were, how do you do that? I don't know. I just do. You read one paragraph for a test, I probably read 5 books. On that same subject. So I had a lot of knowledge inside of me. Write it down, A++. So even the professors were amazed, you know. How do you do it? So how I did it was I just determined that knowledge was power. I wanted to get power. And the only way you can get it is have all these big words and know all this stuff. But my grandmother asked me a question while she was dying. Jim, what is art degree and philosophy? Will that put bread on the table? I'd never thought about that. I just had all these degrees, and I never thought about putting bread on the table. It's like, that's a good question. Will that pay off? A lot of kids today want to be in music or something like that because it's a talent they have, but it's not really a business, and so few make it. But because you want to do things that are interesting to you, they don't all pay. So you have to do things that are practical. Anyway, I went into the most impractical thing on earth, which is to be a pastor. I had no use for pastors at all. But I decided one day, as I'm studying, God actually spoke to me at Yale. I remember it vividly. And he said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. My favorite verse in the whole Bible, that favorite verse. Now, I never read the Bible, but I read a few passages here and there. Because I was in seminary. One of the best seminaries in the world. We had professors from all over, and I had a Harvard scholarship, so I could go to Harvard. I had a Yale scholarship. I had, you know, lots of scholarships. Not because I cheated, but now I actually knew what I was talking about. And if I read Fichte or Schleiermacher or whoever, I read everything they wrote. I didn't just read a book. I read everything they wrote. And that's how I realized, you know what? Smart people aren't very smart. Because this smart person says that smart person is wrong. And they each criticized each other. So what is all this scholarship? You read it, and he's correcting the last guy.
And that guy doesn't like that guy. So this is how knowledge, I realized, you really can't get anywhere by knowing what somebody thinks. That's just what that professor thinks. What about the other professor? So I used to go around to the professors and say, this professor said this. What do you think of that? And he would tell me. Then I'd go to that professor and say, this is what he thinks. And he says, you're wrong. And you say, he's wrong. I made them argue with one another. They didn't like that. But I had a ball. I had fun doing it. So one day I woke up and realized, you know, you want to get a job someday, you better know something, not just head knowledge. You better have faith. Well, I didn't have any faith. I came all the way here to Texas because I understood in Texas you had goat ropers here and people that they just believed in Jesus. I said, I need to go there because I need to get God. And I'm not getting them in Chicago. I'm not getting them at Yale University. I'm just getting knowledge, but I don't really have an experience with the living God. And here's where I met Jesus. I read a book one day, and I realized reading that, wow, these people, they sound like Christians. They sound like they're really the real thing. So Peggy, after Christmas this year, let's fly out and live with them for a week and see how they really live. And they were German sisters. And these Germans, when a German writes a book, it's always with the footnotes being larger than the book itself. Eight-point print. So all of the footnotes are bigger than the book because they're impeccable scholars. And so I realized, you know, I need to study this. Anyway, these people were from Germany, and they hated what Hitler did with the Jews. And so they were against that. And they had the woman that headed it up was Basileia Schlink. That's just a name. That wasn't her German name. And her brother, Edmund Schlink, was the chief theologian in the Lutheran Church of Germany. So it was top, top, top. And since I had a lot of knowledge of Luther myself, I respected him. So if his sisters get into this, you know, that's pretty impressive, because she had three doctorates. She had one in art, just like me. One in philosophy, just like me. I had two, but doesn't matter. And I forget what the last one was, but anyway, it's like, hey, I like this lady. She's smart. She knows a lot of stuff. But I still wasn't a Christian. And one day as I was walking, they had curfew. You had to be in bed by 10, and you had to pray on your predew. That's a little prayer bench thing in your room, and it had a cross on the wall. And you were supposed to pray, but my knees gave out after about 3 minutes. It's like, I don't really like this. Peg, you're more legalistic and so on. You're just here, pray for both of us. I'm going to go out in the hall. You can't. It's curfew. You can't do that. Well, I am. Because if they're awake watching me, they're sinning. So they won't catch me. So as I was walking down the hall, God spoke to me. I didn't believe in God, but I knew it was God. And I just, in that moment, I knew. I believed that I, totally. God is the Father. Jesus is His Son. And now all I have to do is, I said, I believe in you. I confessed all my sins that I could think of. And then He said, do you want to make me the Lord of your life? No. I don't want you to be the Lord. Why should I start out lying? I would like to be the Lord of my life, de facto. You can be de jure. And someday I'll, you know, if you do your work, you do everything. How many know Jesus does everything? And so if you do everything and you do your job, you can then convict me some night. But I don't want to help you. I don't want to do what you have to do. And I felt he was okay with that, whether he was or not. I felt he was. And so I became a Christian. And I knew from then on, I'm going to read the Bible 5-6 hours a day. I still do it. And I fell in love with Jesus. And so then I had a problem because the Lutheran church, which I was a part, was liberal. They believed that the Bible contained the Word of God, but it wasn't the Word of God. So I didn't believe that. I was conservative. I believe whatever Luther said, that he's not perfect, but he's close. So I'm going to stick with him. So I left one day. That was May 12th. May 12th, 1980, Mount St. Helens blew the top off. Do you remember that? I remember it vividly. And God said to me, because I could hear God, he said to me, the seismographers have said this is a, you know, this registers high on the Richter scale. And people don't believe it. They think it's superficial. But this whole mountain is going to go. Wow. Next Sunday, the 18th, is the day that I saw that. So I went to the ministers in the town. There was 11. There was 10 of them, plus me, 11. And I said, I'm no longer going to be part of this church. You, what you say is superficial, and what you say is deep doesn't mean anything to me. You guys are all human. You're not really. You don't have an experience with God. And I did. And so on, so forth. So then I was on my own. Did I lose this? Yeah. On my own. Jack, could you fix this up again?
Go to your room.
So, when I did that, they discovered, this one guy, he discovered, they swore at me for about 45 minutes. And that didn't bother me. I was used to that. But they swore at me, and I said, if you guys would just ask me why I'm leaving, I'll be glad to tell you. But because you're full of anger and whatever, you know, you don't want to ask me. Well, why are you leaving? Because Jesus told me to. That wasn't what they were expecting. And so Jesus told me to, so that's why I'm leaving. So one guy said, well, I once prayed. My sister had leukemia. And I prayed, and she died. So that's the last time I prayed. So I said to him, well, I understand what you're saying, but it's not my story. Mine is the opposite. I was once an unbeliever. Now I'm a believer. So then this other guy said, well, how long do you pray every day? I said, for hours. Wow, how do you do that? These are all ministers and highly educated, but they didn't really do that anymore. They were into all kinds of bad stuff. One worshiped the moon and all kinds of junk, skinny dipping and all that stuff. And so instead of rebuking them, I just simply said, okay, give me 3 sessions. Otherwise, I'm going to leave. In other words, give me 3 sessions and I will tell how I got to where I am, and blah, blah, and so on and so forth. Well, they agreed. So after it was all over, they said to me, wow, I'm almost persuaded what you said might be true. But you're the only prophet we have in the Lutheran Church. I said, well, I'm leaving. Because that's what God said. So, will you stay with us? Sure. I can stay with you as long as you want me to tell the truth. But I'm not going to just listen to your stuff. I'll add to it. But anyway, after a few little while, I just said, you know, I'm going to leave. And I'm going to leave because God said to me, now is the time. So that's how I left. Okay. So what my theology is this. Jesus is your righteousness. You didn't do it. Jesus actually did it. Now, Jesus is not the written word. This is the written word. But this written word is kind of like the clothing that is swaddling cloths around Jesus. So you use the written word to tell you the promise of God that is your righteousness. And you have faith not in the Bible. You have faith in the promise of the Bible that He is the Word of God. This is the Word of God, but this is the Word of God, the living Word of God. Written Word, living Word. Powerful. So, understanding that can't be grasped by the human mind. Your mind is not able to understand an unseen world which you've never seen. So, my whole truth was not the visible church. My whole truth was something I didn't understand at all from that point of view. So all that scholarship and all that understanding, that's not going to help you. What the Bible says, so you have to read it in the original. So I was already equipped to read it in the original. So I began to read it and realize, wow, the English translation, even the King James, is good, but it's not precise. So when I read it, I realize, wow, that's the opposite of what this word actually means. Like I told you, metanoia means change your mind, but it doesn't mean change your mind. That's the way the Greeks understood it. Change your mind. Renew your mind. Change your mind meant to understand it in this way, that Jesus is your righteousness. In other words, think of it in the way of always adjusting everything you read in here that God loves you. So the way that God, under justitia Dei, the justice of God, He could be lenient or he could be harsh and throw the whole book at you. So he began to understand it in that way, and that totally influenced me. I realized, wow, if that's the way you read it, then God is good. He's always good. He loves you. He loves you, Peggy, just the way you are. He loves you, Alex, just the way you are. He loves you. He loves you, you. So since he loves us personally, the living Christ, not just a religious figure, because religion can be just superstition. Religion, 99.9% is superstition. So to be hot, not lukewarm, to be hot, you have to know Jesus personally. And that means that there really is an unseen world that you've never seen. Nobody's here acquainted with it. You haven't seen it yet until Jesus comes back the second time. And that could be some years off. We don't know when. You won't see him as he is. So the Bible says, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appeareth, we shall see him as he is. And he who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. In other words, how you purify yourself is by reading this word that leads you to that word, who is your righteousness. Now, that went against Roman Catholic theology and Jewish theology, that Jesus could be your righteousness. Why? Because he's perfect, and you're not. So, as many offerings as you make, as many, you know, atonements as you try to atone for your sin, you can't get rid of sin. Because it's under a law, It's something you're forced to do. It's not from a new heart. It's not from a new soul. It's not from a new body. But this one is, Christ is in you, the hope of glory. There it is. That's your whole righteousness. But it's by faith right now, but when he comes back again, it'll be by sight. Faith is gone, hope is gone, only love abides forever. So, you are now a lover, right now. And you love your wife with all your heart and soul and strength, and your children, and even your enemies. You pray for them, forgive them, love them. So, that's another world, and it's only based on this book. This is all you have. The only thing you can see in this world is these words. And if you can't see into the unseen world, which is just promises here, how can you check them out? You cannot. So how do you make a decision? I don't know. It's a mystery, but it happened to me. I not only read the book and didn't disagree with it, but it wasn't real to me until that moment when I had an experience of the living God. And that experience, I immediately acted on it. And as soon as you act, he then acts. In other words, you cannot have a future promise, a future title, a future interest, unless there's a present title, present interest, the down payment today. Impart. Donum partum versus donum totum. Later, we'll see the whole thing as soon as Jesus comes back. Without faith, without hope, they're gone. Now all you have is you see him as he is and purify yourself that way. So that's how I live. I don't live by what Peggy says or anyone else says. I just live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's present active indicative, meaning you just read it grammatically, historically, the way it's written right here, and it changes your life. So I realize, wow, if you want to have someone on earth today, you can't just go to church. You can't just be superstitious. You actually have to have a living relationship that he initiates. I never initiated anything. I never prayed, oh, I want to read the Bible and get a revelation. I never did that. I just read it. And just read what's written on the pages right here, literally. Most people felt in the Middle Ages, for over 1,000 years, that the only thing the church did, that was your pope or teaching magisterium of the church or something, they prescribed what things you did that were good works. And so by prescribing them under a law, you had to do those. And they laid it out, how you did penance, how you did, you know, everything. But it was all based on condition. You had to do something. Penitentium agite. Now, Luther said, that's not true. What's true in here is that Jesus did it all. And it's just a gift.
Amen.
It's totally a free gift. You don't have to pay for it. It's already been done for you. And it won't be done again. So what Jesus did on the cross, by his crucifixion, was paid for your sins forever. Now let's say you don't take delivery on it. Then you didn't act on it, he won't act. But if you do take delivery on it and say, I believe that, but you can't make yourself believe it. It's just unless God just has an experience and you realize, wow, I know that I know that I know. I don't know how I know, but I know there is a God who loves me. Changed my life forever. Because I realized from then on, I could be transformed not only by faith in Jesus, but by an experience with the living God. And that experience was that he actually would speak to me. You could actually hear God in this world. And you could actually then respond to him with thanksgiving, praise, adoration, which are not works. They're a response to you thanking him for doing everything, you're praising him for being everything, and you are adoring him because you're going to be his bride without spot, without wrinkle, or any such thing. So you are right now, just by hearing these words, the words say, but now you need an experience to say, I believe all those words. They really define who I am. So I'm not trying to make myself believe it. I totally believe it, that I'm in love with Jesus, and I'll die over it, physically die or psychologically die. I don't really care. But whatever it is, I love Peggy now with all my heart and soul and strength, just like I love Jesus. And I love Alex that way. And I love anybody, everybody. So I believe that's why I'm alive today and shouldn't be. But I believe that miracles happen today. Now, the miracles don't prove anything. They just simply tell you you're a believer. They don't prove anything. In other words, you don't go to heaven because of them. But they in fact, most of the miracles are for the outsiders. They're not even for you. But you can testify, hey, this happened to me. And it's good. It's good to testify.
Amen.
But also, it's really for outsiders. Because then they say, well, how'd that happen? I have no idea. I don't know how it happened. All I know is this is what God said, and I did it. I don't do it because it works. I do it because he said it. So everything he says, I do. So if he says something and I read it, I'm going to immediately apply it. That's how he then comes through. Now, we could have testimonies here for hours, and people would testify, I know what you're saying because I experienced that. So I encourage everybody here, if you just realize that Jesus is your only righteousness, you don't have any. So it's now by faith. But someday soon, you'll be seeing him come back. And when you do, you'll be pure. Did you do it? No. He did it. He did all that. How many know you don't have to work at this? All the work's been done. It's just by faith. Just totally by faith. So faith is in response to a promise. The promises are here. If the letter of the law, the black letters on this page, kills, then the spirit of the law, which is the white fire, the white part of the page, gives life. So one gives death, the other gives life. So since the letter of the law killeth, under the law over there, this is under faith over here. Because it's a promise. So we either live by promises or by commands. I've never lived by a command, ever. I was always lawless when I was a pagan. Now, I don't need to live by any laws, but I voluntarily, I'm ready to do anything Jesus said, to the death. So we overcome him by the word of the Lamb, and by our own testimony, and because we love not our lives to the death. So, if I die today, it's a happy occasion. It's a happy occasion. Why? Because I don't think I'm going to die today. But if I am, it's not a big deal. They just push me aside and put someone else in. And so I've trained people over the years. And I believe those people will be faithful. That's what you're supposed to do. Why? God said so. And so you don't work at it. You've never seen me sweat. You've never seen me worry. It doesn't happen. Because he said, come unto me, all you that labor and have a heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I have it. I have that rest. What? I'm just testifying. But I have that rest. In other words, I'm completely relaxed because I don't have to do anything. But I want to. The difference between having to, law, is different than want to, gospel. So I want to serve Peggy. I want to serve anybody. Why? That's just me. And so I'll love them the same way God loves them to finish up his will. So this whole thing is the unseen world. Everything is unseen in the true church because you haven't seen it. Yet we live by it. It's a miracle. Everyone else wants to see. Name any religion in the world or any philosophy. They want to see something. Everything in this world wants to see. I don't need to see it. I already believe it. Because this letter of the law kills my flesh. That's fine. I agree with it. But the spirit of the law give me life. So the minute I'm dead, I'm alive. The minute I'm dead by reading the letter, I realize that was for Jesus. He already died for me. So I'm dead. I don't have to say, I wish I were dead. No, I'm dead. If he died, I died. When he rose, I rose. Now he's reigning, I will reign. And I'll be his bride. I will actually sit there on the throne of God. So I hope I explained today what he's talking about. He only comes for ungodly people. So if you're ungodly, you qualify.
Amen.
If there anybody here has done something ungodly, no problem. Why? Because he only came for ungodly people. I'll prove it. He said, do not think I came for the righteous. I did not come for the righteous. I came for sinners who repent. Repent means comfort yourself. Comfort yourself that God himself loveth you. What do you have going for you? Nothing but this word. You read this word, the written word, and you will come to the living word. Everything in here is on your side. God has never been against anybody. He even loves the people that hate you. He loves them. So I can't be mad at people that are ignorant. I can't be mad at people that they hated me without a cause, he said. But you know what? I not only can say, don't worry about that. God is not interested in your behavior. He's interested in your faith. This is behavior, totally different. This is faith. But now I behave better than those people. Why? Because I do it voluntarily. I'm a happy slave. I don't mind being a slave. Because I don't have anything to work for. Why? Because God loves me. Well, since God loves me and I believe it, I don't have to work on it. I just can enjoy myself. Happiness always precedes holiness. If you're happy, you'll grow. Have you ever seen people that are unhappy when they're children? They'll be troubled their whole lives. But when you meet Jesus, he changes all that. So, I don't look for people to look happy. I mean, you have to be happy. Why? Because Jesus loves you just the way you are.
Amen.
And he'll change you. If you need changing, he'll do it. Not only that, he'll not only forgive you, then he'll cleanse you, then he'll perfect you, then he'll marry you, and then he'll give you eternal life. I mean, there's nothing he withholds from you. Because you're his righteous one. Now, who would like to testify? Who would like to be next? Who would like to testify and say, Pastor, what you just shared is my life too. I'm also like that. I know many of you have testimonies. So who would like to testify? That's me. I'm just like what you just said today. I believe that Jesus loves me just as I am. And I'm not working at it because Jesus already is my life. He's my joy. He's my everything. And so now, when I do that voluntarily, everyone else is under a law, I don't have to do it. I want to do it. I want to do it willingly. That's what the law said. That's why God originally created you in the first place, to be his stewards, to be his servants. But happily, because you're going to marry him. He sets you free only so he can marry you. So he has to kill off your old man. That's what the law says. But the gospel affects it. It's efficacious. It actually affects what it asks for. Whatever God requires, he always supplies.
Amen.
My God shall supply
all your needs.
All your needs. I mean, that's what he says. Now, I know a lot of people don't believe that, and that's fine. They're over here, and I'm not against them. I want to tell them the truth. By living it, or by living it in such a way that they realize they're not hated. So I don't have any enemies. I have enemies that don't like me, but I like them. I don't care. That's why I'm not afraid. Perfect love casts out all fear.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Now, let's have a testimony. Willis, stand up. I want you to stand up. Just stand up.
I don't have any other thing to go after except right. Christ. I've tried everything else.
Right.
Amen.
Buried a friend of mine a couple days ago. I got to go see him in a hospital before he passed. Drank himself to death.
Right.
Much.
And, right.
Anyway, it's like the thief on the cross. Got to get in at the last moment.
Right.
Had an uncle, a cousin that were steeped in the Word and went to see him too.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a joy
right.
for that to happen. And then today I get to go see a baptism of a close friend of mine
right.
that 3 years ago was an atheist.
Wow.
So
powerful.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's precious.
Yeah,
that's awesome. So Jesus is your righteousness, and you're righteous. Not you're trying to be. You are, just by faith. Just by faith. Someday, you'll see it. When you see it, it's easy. Because only love will be left. Not faith, not hope. Who else? You can just make it up. Even if it's not true, you can make it up.
Yeah, what you're saying is absolutely... It really is true, and it's my story too, because it's the goodness of God.
Yeah.
The goodness of God. And only the goodness of God.
Right.
That has led me to repentance and continually will.
Right.
Every single day. I mean, it's like it's right. His goodness.
Good.
And it draws us to Himself. It lets us.
Powerful.
The mercy and the love relaxes us.
Right.
And He knows what we love, and He uses those things.
Right.
To minister. To really just draw us to Himself.
Amen.
That's it's
powerful.
It's good.
Powerful. Who else? Yes, Lynn.
You know, I just appreciate your emphasis on the Word and how you continually share that over and over, because, that's where the power and the abiding is.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard just this morning this wonderful comparison that, you know, when we get in a crisis,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we get in and find our word for it,
right?
That's like, you know, cramming for a test.
Yeah,
you can get it done,
right?
But the farmer can't bring a harvest that way.
Mm-mm. Yeah,
he's good. Got to sow that seed, put that seed in there,
powerful,
and abide in it and wait on it, and it takes time.
Yeah,
and that's the lifestyle that we have to have.
Amen.
In the Word.
It's powerful.
Because otherwise,
amen.
We will be like the various seeds
right.
that fell away, that
yeah.
burned up, that
right.
didn't have any root. And
right.
so I'm just encouraged by the
good.
Continual, encouraging to be in the Word.
Yeah.
It has to be our lifestyle. It,
right.
It can't be something that, you know, we pick up when we're in a crisis.
Right.
And,
yeah.
And I see that more and more as, you know, we've recently lost friends.
Mm-hmm.
And, we have to understand the Word.
Mm.
It has to have
Love it.
Produce life
yeah.
in us.
Everything is there. Everything is in the Word.
Amen.
I mean, everything you need, it's in the Word. But it's mostly Jesus. I mean, mostly, it's 100% Jesus. Because Jesus loves you, and you don't have to do anything to earn, merit His salvation. It's already been done. It's been done, not by someone else. It's just done by Jesus. That was His mission. As Son of Man, He came here to be a man so He could die. He's still Son of God. When He was here, He remained Son of God. In the Greek language, that's called morphe, the morphology. He still was God, even though He is also Son of Man, child of Abraham by faith and King David, so he's a priest king. He had his faith, then he had the kingship. And when he comes back, he will not be Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world by faith. He will now be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you also will be the king. He's king over the kings and lords that he's over. You'll be exactly that. Hallelujah. After the order of Melchizedek. It's powerful. I know some of that's hard to grasp, but it's in the Bible.
Amen.
And so, since it's in the Bible, you don't have to read it, but if you want to, you can. It's good news. Everything he did is for you. Everything he did is for you. He did nothing on his own for himself. God never wants anything. He just wants to give. He has never taken anything from you. Not an offering, nothing. He winked at the offerings that the Jewish people provided. Winks at them, meaning, you know, that's not really the full truth. That is not my heart. Because my heart has always been for everybody that I created. And he wants everyone to hear this good news. And it's powerful. It's powerful. All the good in this world came from that event. People look forward to it. Now, we can look back at what he said and did, but you can read it now, today, and experience, right today, the joy of the Lord. That's your strength. Peggy.
Confirmation in the Word that he's done that. We don't have to go do penance. Mm-hmm. We don't have to do things. We don't have to do those things. Comfort yourself in the fact that Jesus has done it all.
He did it all.
Amen.
He doesn't want you to labor. He's very clear on that. Please don't labor. It's a gift. Nothing on earth is anything but a gift of God.
Amen.
And whatever he said before time ends, you will see it. You will see everything he said, even the way he originally created the world, you will see it. So you think that he's just idle saying, well, I wanted it to be this way that it wasn't. Uh-uh. Everything he said that you'll actually see justice on earth. You'll actually see love on earth. You'll actually see faith in God on earth. You'll see it all. Right now we're only seeing by faith because it hasn't yet time. But someday you'll see the kingdom of heaven on earth. Did you know the kingdom of God is inside of you?
Amen.
It's not out there in the world. It's not something you can see. It's an unseen thing. But it's in me. And it's in you. And it's in everybody. Anyone who receives it. And all you have to do is nothing. All you have to do is nothing. Don't do anything. Free gift. Free gift. Why? Is he nervous about that he gave a free gift and some people will abuse it? No, he's not. Why? Because he did that for you, so that you'd realize he's postponed the judgment till the end, giving everybody time to clean up your life. What does that mean, clean up my life? It doesn't mean you do it. It means he does it for you. Next verse. Next person.
Can you clarify... I've always heard, you know, when you said what is repentance, I was thinking changing my mind.
Yes.
So how does that fit with comfort?
Okay. Yeah.
I forget that part.
Right. Okay. So it says the goodness of God leads to repentance. So obviously goodness means a lot. If that leads to repentance, me changing my mind, comforting myself, that means it's in the Bible, because it's nowhere else. You can't see it. I mean, you can't see it in a storm or in the cross. But Jesus saw his whole life is he saw the victory in the cross. He didn't see that as defeat. In other words, he said, I don't care what situation you're in, I'll enter into it and fix that for you so that it's all good news. Whatever you're afraid of, go for it, because Jesus will be in that thing you fear, or he'll be in anything. So the goodness of God is three things. God's goodness is, first of all, grace, which equals mercy and is followed by power of the Holy Spirit. So the goodness of God is seen in those three ways. Grace, which means a free gift that you didn't even plan on. He's just gracious. He's gracious to the just and the unjust. He reigns on both. He doesn't care. But that leads to mercy for your sins, Jesus dying on the cross. But that then leads to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so that you can then have the power to do it in this world, so that men, once they see your good works, they won't glorify you. They'll glorify your Father, because they say, you reflected God. I saw God in you. This, for any pagan, a pagan can see this and realize you're a woman of God. You're a man of God. That's what God wants the church to be, that light. That light. Jerusalem, the word Jerusalem, it begins with the word God, Yah. And then the next word is Or, O-R, which is light. That's the word for light in Hebrew. So God brings light into the world for our peace. Shalom, shalom. So Jerusalem is the city of peace, and there's never been peace in that city. Never, at any time. But now, God is saying to Israel, yes, you will see peace in Jerusalem. Actually, you'll see it with your eyes when I come back. You'll see that I've set up the kingdom of God on the earth that you can see with your eyes. The Jewish people will be in charge, not you. And the Gentiles will be submitted to the Jewish people, because they will be amazed. How did these Jewish people, how come they are on top? And not only that, but the wicked are gone forever. There will be no more wicked on the earth. So I look forward to that day, because I haven't seen it today. I have to do it by faith. But everything that you see today, don't worry. It's all for God's blessing. Anyone else wants to share?
One? Do you think the changing of the mind means stop working?
Yes.
Because the mind was work.
Yeah.
And the changing is don't work. It's done. Yeah.
Right.
Would that be?
Yeah. That is good.
I'm good at doing nothing.
Don't work.
I'm good at doing nothing.
Are you good at doing it? Yeah. So we're all good at
doing
it.
Don't work, because Jesus is doing it.
Right.
You don't have to do it.
You see, no more guilt. Guilt is done away with. Guilt is done away with. So, perfect. What she just said is perfect. No more work. Why? Jesus did it all. No more work. Jesus did it all. And every other religion makes you work. To make an offering, or to bake a sacrifice, or to do an atonement or something, give a lamb or something. You don't need to do anything. It's all been done. This is the lamb that takes away the sins of the world.
And this, the yeah. thing is about the work, because some people want to work. Well, I don't want to be a lazy bum, but you will work, but it won't be you.
It won't be you.
So, I mean, it's not going to be we're all lazy bums and don't do anything. But
right.
Now, it's just
right.
The work will happen.
It's what you want.
The more rested you are, the better you can do.
Exactly.
If you're all tight, you don't do very good work.
Amen.
So people who are fearful they won't work, they'll work.
Right. Now, the world hates what I just said, all that I just said. They hate that. They don't want an unseen world. They want a seen world. But you're hastening his time. That is coming, but not today. So you see it by faith, which humbles you. Because even though you're looking at the world and saying, boy, there's no hope, there is always hope. As long as time endures, there's always hope. So don't help God out. Just relax, rest, enter into his rest. That's it. Anyone else? You can just make it up. It's really good. I want everyone to get a hold of this. It's so powerful. But I say the world can't understand that. They only understand what their reason and their conscience tell them. But your reason and conscience has to also be submitted to the Word of God. The Word of God is the greatest thing that ever happened to America.
Amen.
It's what made Texas the great. Texas said, Santa Anna, he said the Mexican government, but they were under him. Santa Anna said that I figured out what these Texans are after, God and liberty. They joined together, whereas I want God and be the oppressor. I want to make laws that make everybody Catholic. Well, no one didn't want the Catholic. They loved Catholics. Catholics were part of the people that fought in the revolution. There were many of them. But so it isn't Catholicism. It's forcing it. Why should the government force that on you by a law? So that's fornication. That is what the Bible calls fornication. No more fornication, no more idolatry, no more unclean with clean. Make it pure. That man has made it pure for all of us. You're now happy all the time. Do I feel happy? You don't have to feel it. Well, do I understand it? No, you don't have to understand it. Do I want it? You don't have to want it. That's all psychological. It's in the Bible. This is objective word. Outside, this word comes from heaven above. The Holy Spirit wrote this word. He can write it through Isaiah. He can write it through Jacob. You know, it doesn't matter. But he is the one that wrote all this word for your blessing. For your every promise in heavenly places has been given to you. Now, just enjoy yourself. Don't be guilty. Why? Because there is now no condemnation for them that were in Christ Jesus who don't walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. That's good news.
Amen.
All right. I love y'all. You're the best.